Let's turn now to Nicaragua. Protesters there have been demanding President Daniel Ortega resign. Ortega is a name many of you probably know. He rose to international prominence in the 1980s as the leader of the leftist Sandinistas, was a thorn in the side of President Ronald Reagan and others. And since the 80s, Ortega has been in and out of Nicaragua's leadership. But now many Nicaraguans have had enough of Ortega, and this weekend protests against him turned deadly again. After 2 months of protests at the main university in Managua, pro-government militias attacked some of the students. They had sought refuge in a church on campus where they were trapped in the ensuing gunfire, along with some priests and journalists. At least two students were killed. Washington Post reporter Joshua Partlow was at the church.
We drove to the area of this church, which had become a refuge area for the wounded and for the students who were pushed back from their barricades. So I was doing interviews there for maybe an hour, at which point the paramilitaries appeared essentially behind us and cut off the exit from the church. And then we were all stuck inside.
Yeah. Describe some of the tense drama that unfolded while you were in there. Were there students around you that died?
When I was there, there were three or four seriously wounded students. Initially, when I got there, they had the wounded out in the courtyard and on desks. When the shooting got pretty close, everyone rushed inside and carried the wounded in there and laid them on the floor. There was one 18-year-old medical student who was shot through the leg and had broken her femur and looked like she was in extreme pain, and it was splinted with basically cardboard and sticks and tape. There was another young man, another student who had part of his foot shot off that came in. After nightfall, it became a little bit more intense and people were shooting at the actual church, and so everyone turned off the lights. People were trying to be quiet. They were trying to, a lot of people had cell phones and were communicating with the outside world. The priest was going on the radio and asking for help. From what I was told when I was in there, that there were several ambulances waiting to get in, but they were blocked for several hours.
Did the students you spoke with, did they assume they'd be safe from the paramilitaries inside a church?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was part of the reason why they had initially gone there and taken their wounded there, was they thought that was a safe space and it wouldn't be attacked.
Opponents to Ortega have been protesting his government for months now. How does this event in this church on the campus of this University of Managua, how does this fit in to the larger picture of what's going on in Nicaragua?
In some ways, it's remarkable how often this kind of thing is happening in Nicaragua. I mean, even yesterday, the day after what happened in the church, a similar episode played out in a town called Messiah, and the paramilitaries blocked off roads into certain neighborhoods. And there was hours of gunfire, at least 10 people dead. The government of President Ortega has been intent on breaking these protests and reasserting control. And I mean, it has the flavor of a conflict that could be moving toward a civil war type situation.
I mean, I got to say, such episodes may be happening with alarming frequency in Nicaragua, but not with an American reporter bearing minute by minute witness to it. I mean, it sounds like you're still processing what you went through. I'm also wondering, what did you better understand about the Ortega government and what's at stake for the Ortega government while you were holed up with these students in that church?
I mean, one of the things that becomes very clear is that the Ortega government has said that these paramilitary forces don't exist. That's a blatant lie. I mean, they're not in hiding in any sense. They're quite visible. I've saw dozens of them.
And do you know if they're taking orders from Ortega, or are they acting independently?
I mean, that's a big question. It hasn't been proven that they're taking orders from Ortega, but you see them driving and traveling in conjunction with the police. When I left the church on Friday night, we crossed police lines, uniformed police, and the paramilitaries were essentially working right in front of them freely. So I have to assume that they are working in coordination with the security forces.
I mean, Joshua, you just raised the specter of possible civil war in Nicaragua. I mean, what would make the difference between an end to these protests and some peaceful conclusion to these things getting bigger?
Well, I think that what a lot of the protesters are asking for are early elections. Ortega's been in power for, this is his fourth term. So I think that's been a pretty clear demand from the student protesters and others that he step down. He has refused to do that, and he has refused to have early elections. That's why I say this conflict seems like it could intensify. I mean, both because of the violence and the death toll has been rising quite rapidly, but also because he shows no sign of making concessions or backing down.
Washington Post reporter Joshua Partlow, who is now out of Nicaragua, speaking with us from Mexico City. Thank you very much.
Thank you.